What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Getting so many DMs that say, like, how do you stay so disciplined? How are you always so motivated? And I just want to, like, scream at the top of my lungs. Like, I'm like, I'm not always motivated. I'm not always disciplined. I don't always want to get up and work out. Like, I don't always want to make the healthy choice at all. And I just never wanted my Instagram to be like that highlight reel, which I feel everybody's is.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Pod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate. Every Wednesday, I'll be bringing you awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and the realest conversations around everything and anything. Now let's get real. Welcome back to Real Pod. I hope you are doing awesome. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a very special guest because she was brought solely by all of you. I put out a post on the Real Pod Instagram, which is at Real Pod. So if you don't follow it, make sure you do, asking who do you guys want me to have on the show? And submission after submission said Kylie Ross, Kylie Ross, Kylie Ross. I went and looked her up. I binged all of her content. I absolutely fell in love. She's the cutest and the coolest at the same time. And I'm just really excited for our conversation today. We covered all of the bases. I mean, Kylie and I talked about injuries, mental health, body image, finding your identity after sport. For those of you who are not familiar with her story, she's a former Division I soccer player from Baylor University, where she played for 5 years, receiving her undergrad and master's degree. She tore her ACL, which is the reason why she redshirted and did her master's. And actually this spring was her final spring semester, technically, of that fifth year. So she's very recently a student athlete and now into the real world. I'm like welcoming her. Hey girl, here we are doing the thing. But that's why I'm so excited to have been able to sit down with her, because we relate on so many levels and she just gets it. So I'm really excited for you guys all to hear from Kylie today, hear about her incredible journey as a college athlete, her ACL journey, her journey building an incredible YouTube platform where most of you might know her from. She has over 140,000 subscribers on her YouTube channel, thousands on her Instagram, and she is now sharing her passion about health and fitness and all that stuff beyond her life as a soccer player. So I'm very excited for today's episode, for you all to hear from Kylie. Without further ado, let's get into this episode, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, perfect. Well, I'm so glad to have you on Real Pod today. It's going to be a blast. For those of you listening, this is Kylie's second podcast, so she's new yes. to it, but we don't bite here. Our listeners are great. We talk about everything on this show. So how are you doing today?
Good. How are you? I'm really excited to be here. A little bit nervous, but yeah, I'm excited.
You're going to kill it. Isn't it funny how our lives are in front of the world, yet things like this can make us really nervous for some reason?
Yes, I know. I'm like, I literally share every hour of almost every day with so many people, and I can't, like, it's making me nervous just to sit here and have a conversation with you. I don't know. It's so crazy.
But it's different because you get to, like, edit and think about, like, what final product you're putting out, which is totally different than sitting and having a conversation. I feel like I'm like, well, I don't know what I would say, and then someone's going to hear it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's nice. I try and keep it real, but it's nice to have that option to, like, edit a little bit, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I totally feel you on that. Well, I'm so glad to have you here. I feel like we have so many similarities.
similarities. And I'm excited to talk about everything you've been up to, your college career. I think you've had a lot of parts of your journey that a lot of people can relate to and learn from, especially. And then also just what you've built with your YouTube channel and online, I think is also awesome, because I know firsthand that balance of school and sport and then the balance of YouTube and content is wild. So I just want to talk about it all. I guess let's rewind. When was soccer your passion? Were you a multi-sport athlete? When did that kind of come to the forefront?
So, growing up, I started playing soccer in kindergarten, when everybody's parents put them in rec soccer. It's the first sport everybody plays. And then I just kept going with it. And in middle school, I joined a club team where it was way more intense and you traveled a little bit and got to go to tournaments. And that was so fun. I played basketball and then I made C team volleyball. Okay. Eighth grade.
And oh my gosh.
So proud of myself. No, I have no hand eye coordination. So I was so bad. I did track and basketball in middle school. I think everybody does all the sports. But then once I got to high school, I pretty much solely focused on soccer. I played high school and then I was on an ECNL team, which is a traveling higher up league where you would go to showcases and college coaches would come, and it was just good recruiting for college. I pretty much played soccer. It was my one passion all of my life. So when I got to college, it was just a dream come true, you know?
Yeah. What was that freshman year like? Was it everything you had been expecting, or what was different about it?
So one thing to know about me is I'm a perfectionist and I'm super hard on myself. So going into college sports, I was expecting you're going to grind it out. You're going to win that starting spot as a freshman, what everybody thinks.
What we all think soccer. Freshman year. It's going to be easy. I'm going to bring the energy.
I know. I'm so I'm going to start this is how it's going to go. And it could not have been more different, because I don't know. You're going up against people who are 4 years older than you. It's not going to be handed to you. Yeah. So I got there and I was just so frustrated because I wasn't getting the attention I thought I deserved, and wasn't getting the playing time I thought I deserved. And overall, I would say that was a very selfish year for me, because I didn't play a single minute. I traveled, but I would sit on the sidelines for 90 minutes the entire game, every game. So that was really hard for me to freshman year to just have to deal with that, along with I was a health science studies major, which is basically biology. So trying to balance that and all these emotions I was feeling with soccer was very, very difficult for me. And I think something a lot of people don't prepare you for, they're you're going to go to college and do great, it's going to be great. And then you get there and it's not at all what you expected sometimes. So yeah, that was a little bit rough.
Were you a star soccer player in high school? You were used to getting playing time and being kind of clutch. And so then it was this big adjustment.
Yeah, exactly. So on my ECNL team, I was 90 minute starter. And then on high school, I was a captain, played every game. So going from that to literally riding the bench was a really big blow to my ego, I would say. So
did you feel it was just you were on the bench thinking, wow, I'm nowhere near where I need to be to get on the field? Or were you thinking, oh, that could be me? Was it a frustration or a wow, I gotta really pick up the gap?
I definitely didn't deserve to play. And I think that year was necessary for me to become the player that I needed to be, because I was just so selfish, thinking about me, rather than it's for the good of the team kind of thing. I would sit on the sidelines and not even cheer for my team freshman year, because I was just so absorbed with my own feelings. And I wish that I could go back and tell that girl, okay, snap out of it. It's not all about you. You have a team to be cheering on, and you can do a lot from the sidelines. Like, you don't have to be that 90-minute starter to make an impact on your team. And I think that's just something I wish I could, like, go back and tell my younger self, you know?
Because you kind of let, like, that negativity and frustration, like, seep into other things. Maybe the enjoyment of that freshman season.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I almost, like, wasted a whole year just, like, being so self-absorbed, you know?
And I want to dive into this perfectionism because I think a lot of people can relate to this. Why do you think you strive for perfect, or at least used to strive for perfect? Was that just like the way you grew up? Everyone was achieving, or?
I feel like, honestly, my mom's like this too. So I think it's a lot like in my genes, but I think playing a sport my whole life really brought that out of me even more, and like sometimes not in the best way, because like I always wanted to have like the perfect first touch or like the perfect pass, and like I would be really down on myself if I didn't play like a perfect game, which, as you know, like no game is ever the perfect game. Mm-hmm. So like even if I had a great game, I would always get hung up on like those little things that like, oh, I could have been better there, I could have been better there. And especially like in my fitness journey, I think like that perfectionism sometimes like carried over into like my own body image, which I think it's like super important to talk about as athletes, because I think there's like this stigma that like, oh, like the lower body fat that you have, like the more lean you are, like the better athlete you're gonna be. And that like honestly couldn't be further from the truth. Like you don't have to have like shredded abs and like lean legs to like be the perfect athlete, like not at all actually. So I think a lot of times for me, like that would carry over, and like I would go out and do extra and like do extra sprints if I didn't play well. And yeah, I was just like really hard on myself. Like probably my first 2 years of college soccer, I just couldn't really find like that balance, you know?
I would agree a lot with the body image and what you mentioned. And to me, the way I kind of view it is, when you think, oh, I'm a college athlete, like Division One or whatever your conference is, or just the fact that you're working out 5-6 days a week, you look at your body and you're thinking, well, I should have a six pack, or well, I should have no fat on my legs. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Think that the look of the body is exemplary of how fit you are. And I've been in really, really top shape, but I will never have a six pack show. Like, that's just not how my body is made. And yeah. I always battle with that as well, is okay, well, maybe I'm not that in shape, or maybe I'm not fast enough or have good enough stamina because I don't have a low enough body fat percentage.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that it's definitely a hard balance. But the thing that I remind myself is like, when I get into like those toxic mindsets, is like, I look at some of my teammates and they're some of like the best athletes like I've ever played with. And I'm like, some of them like are not shredded at all, and I'm like, they're like literally the best teammate I've ever played with. So I'm like, I don't know where I'm like getting this idea that my body has to be like this certain way from, you know?
Yeah, like it has to look a certain way for you to feel good about your play. I feel the same way. I've had girls on my team, all Americans, incredible athletes, and just don't fit the mold of what you'd think a volleyball player is supposed to look like, by the way society deems it. And I think soccer girls have that same expectation as well, like with the bodies and abs. Yeah. And there's a pressure, I think, on your sport of how your body's supposed to look based on that sport. I know runners think they have to look super lean. Volleyball players, it's like you want the long legs and the big butt. Soccer girls want ripped abs and the muscular thighs. And so it's tough when you play your sport and you feel good about what you're doing, but your body doesn't look the way maybe your coach wants it to look, or the field of that sport wants it to look. How did you deal with that your younger years on the team? Was it something that, like, were you not aware of it yet? You were just still trying to maybe achieve that?
Yeah, honestly, well, my freshman year, I gained, I think, like 15 to 20 pounds of mostly muscle, but definitely some fat too, because, like, they were like pumping us full of protein, like lifting every day, like definitely.
First day you get there, they're giving you muscle milk, like through an IV.
I know, right? I'm like, I've never even drank like a protein shake in my entire life, and now I'm drinking one every day. So definitely gained so much muscle. And honestly, I was just like in shock, like after freshman year, like, you know, that summer you go home and everybody's like, whoa, like, hello, yeah. Like, you've gained so much muscle. Like, no one was mean about it at all, but definitely people like notice. And I think I let that get to my head a little bit. I was like, oh, like, people are noticing, like, I definitely gained some weight. Like, so I would like train so, so hard in the summer, like literally run soccer, like 2 days, literally every day. Like, and it was definitely aimed towards making me a better soccer player, but that's always in the back of your mind, like the body image thing. Like, I'm also doing this to like have the best body I can at the same time. Which is just honestly not worth it. Like, if you're doing it for the body, it's just, it's never gonna like fulfill you. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm not sure if that even makes sense, but
no, it makes sense. I hear exactly what you're saying. I remember going back freshman year and like a guy that I knew had said something like, Victoria's gotten super, it was like, it wasn't mean, but I viewed it mean because I thought that any sort of bigger was an insult. Oh, and the thing I was thinking of when you were talking was how the freshman 15 is such a negative thing. And if you gain weight your freshman year, it's viewed as like, you lost the self-control, like, you victim to the freshman 15. And so having gained weight, which in our cases was good weight, like, we worked really hard to gain that muscle. Yeah, we're coming home and feeling like we've lost in some way because like friends, family, or our old high school friends are thinking, haha, like, she gained weight. And I think that whole stigma made me feel like my body can't change from high school. Like, I need to have my high school body. But that does not make sense because high school me could not play on the USC volleyball team. I'm sure like high school you could not compete to get that starting spot had you not gotten stronger, faster, and bigger just by result of that muscle gain.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of like leads me into like my sophomore year. Like, I think because I made all of these strides, even though I was looking at them as like, I got bigger, like, it's so frustrating, like, I gained all this weight, like, that is the only reason that like sophomore year I was able to like compete for a starting spot and like play that season and like actually make an impact on the team. So I think it's just a good reminder for a lot of athletes, like, it's okay to gain weight, it's okay to gain muscle, like, it's not, it's good, it's good for your sport, and it's going to help you in the long run.
Well, our bodies are what is really helping us perform. And it's like a mechanism. It's a tool for performance. And 100%, we can't just look at it as an item that people are staring at, but it's literally what allows us to perform. And your sophomore year, I know you said you did get more playing time. You were maybe subbed, maybe got minutes, but then it was your junior year where you felt like you were finally, like, you'd put in that work. You were starting to become a leader on the team. You felt really confident about your playing time and your role. And unfortunately, you're like just on the brink of that success and that breakthrough. Like, my first underclassman years are worth it for this payoff. And unfortunately, in a preseason game, you tear your ACL.
Yeah.
What was that exact moment like in the first half of that game?
That is like, this far in my young adult life, like, easily the hardest thing I've ever had to go through, because like you said, like, I honestly felt like I was finally coming into like my role on the team. Like, I was like, yes, I am going to start, I'm going to play, I feel like a leader. Like, we've been playing what, like, 6 games, I think, something like that, and we travel up to Portland and we're playing University of Portland, and I'm literally like shielding the ball out of bounds, like literally the ball's about to go out, like, it's out of bounds, and this girl kind of like tackles me from behind, and I'm telling you, like, I knew, like, the second that happened, like, I felt the pop, I heard the pop, like, and it was just like this weird feeling, like, everything was in slow motion and I was just like screaming on the ground, and honestly, I didn't want to believe that that was what it was, but when I like tried to stand up, like, my knee like buckled, gave out, couldn't even hold myself up. So I was like, uh-oh, that was definitely not good. But
I just got chills.
Yeah, it was honestly like the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. Not only because like rehab is hard and learning how to walk is hard and like relearning your sport from scratch is really hard. Oh my God, why am I like?
It's okay.
I still can't even talk about it. Like,
it's okay. I know what it feels like when you think back on such a dark time, and it. When you're not thinking about it, you're like, oh, that was a distant memory. But when you talk about it, you can instantly snap back to how it made you feel in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I think honestly what made it like harder than I think what it would have been like at any other point is like that feeling of like you're so close to like grasping what you want and then it just being like ripped away from you. Oh my gosh.
And it's so out of your control. There's nothing that you can do. And when a moment happens, we can think about, oh, maybe if I wasn't shielding the ball or if this girl didn't do that thing, but it's happened and you literally have no choice but to work with what you have. And I think this is different, but draws a parallel with a lot of the athletes who have maybe worked so hard right now and then coronavirus happens and there's no senior season. There's no NCAA tournament. There's no conference championships. And I think your story and you really getting honest about this can relate heavily to so many athletes that universally right now are probably experiencing that same thing. I've worked so hard. I've given so much as a college athlete, the sacrifice for this to happen. How did you work through the surgery, the rehab? Do you feel like you were able to tap into that optimism of, okay, well, I just got to dominate rehab? Or was it a struggle for a while to, like, were you thinking, why me for a while?
Yeah, I would say this year of my life was like the biggest year of growth that I've had ever, just because not only physically did I have to like rebuild my quad. Like, I'm not kidding you. My quad looked like there was like only bone in there. And like my friends, my family, my teammates, like everybody calls me Big Mama because like I have like really muscular quads, even for like a soccer player. And I've had to kind of like own that over the years.
Called Big Mama. It's
yeah. But like to see me like that was like crazy. Like even looking down my legs, I was like, oh my God, like how am I gonna regrow like an entire quad? But I would say like honestly it was really hard for me, and I definitely was not optimistic about rehab, not even a little bit. Yeah, that surgery really just rocked me. Like I don't think anybody really prepared me for what it was, but I was like came out of surgery and I didn't want to like get out of bed. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything. I was just like so depressed and like just felt like if I couldn't play soccer, I didn't know who I was. Like I truly found my identity in my sport. And I feel like a lot of people struggle with that. At least the people that I've talked to on my team who have like had the same injury or like had an injury where they've been out for a while, they're like, I don't even know what to do anymore because I can't perform. And that was something that I really, really, really struggled with. And I also like, I told you I'm a perfectionist. So like struggling in rehab was not something that I liked. Like I did not like not being able to walk or not being able to do a squat or not being strong enough to like lift my max weight. You know what I mean? So that was definitely something that I really struggled with. But it also helped me like I had so much growth, it helped me to be a better teammate, to learn like you don't have to perform to be able to encourage your teammates, to be able to like pick somebody up when they're down. Like you can be that injured player and still provide so much value to the team. And I think that's something that I never really understood, because this injury was my first big injury. Like honestly, the only other thing I'd ever had was like ankle sprains, which you're out for like 2 weeks and you're back. So this was like something brand new to me and something that was really difficult for me to come to terms with. But yeah.
The rehab thing is definitely frustrating. And I know that you said you had to push back your clearing day 3 months past what was expected. And that in itself, you've alluded to felt like failing. It's like you, someone, I can imagine, I'm like you in the sense of, at least when I was struggling with my mental health, I was like, someone give me a map, like be grateful 3 times a day, go on a walk, do this, and I'll be happy again. Like give me the thing and I'll complete the thing. And similar to rehab, everyone's going to move at their different paces. And so what was that like when the season had been starting and you'd been pushing through, and then it was, well, we have to go for 12 more weeks.
It was honestly, I don't know. It was kind of like, I was torn. Like I was so frustrated and upset. And like, I felt like I hadn't done something right, but I was in so much pain that getting that second surgery helped me so much that like, once I had gotten it, I was like, okay, we're on the road. Like we're cruising now. Like I don't mind 3 more months if like it means that I can finally feel normal again. But the roadmap thing that makes me laugh, because I'm not kidding you, my PT and athletic trainer probably hated me. Like I was so annoying. I would come in every day and I was like, okay, guess what? You guys are going to write me calendar. You're going to tell me, this is the day that I'm going to squat. This is the day that I'm going to run. This is the day that I'm going to like cut. And they were like, doesn't really work like that. But like I asked them probably like for a month straight. And she was like, okay, you know what? Shut up. Like I'll sit down. I'll write you like a tentative schedule. And I was just like, okay, thank God. Now I have a calendar, or like something to aim for. I don't know. Cause it's really hard for me not to have like those check marks. You know what I mean? Like I got to get here. I got to be here by this date, and I like will make it by this date. So yeah, that was really
something to look forward to and to cling to. How did your perspective change through rehab? Because I know you did a YouTube video about your ACL and you alluded to 3 big takeaways you learned and that the injury taught you. Did you have to look back and reflect on the rehab and the injury to think about those takeaways? Or when you were kind of a few months towards being healed, had you already felt a shift in your mindset?
Honestly, I would say I didn't really realize how much I had changed and how much I had learned until after rehab was over and I was normal again, like only had to go to rehab once a week. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like I don't have to go to rehab every single day and only focus on like the little aspects of my knee. It just really brought this new like feeling of gratefulness and like thankfulness for my body and like what it could do for me and like what all I put it through that injury. I think when you're going through it, it's really, really, really hard to have that mindset because you're so focused on like, not the negatives, but like the tedious things that you have to do every day to get healthy again. And it's really hard to just think like, you know what, my body's healing, like give it some grace. And like, it just, it does so much for you and you're putting it through so much, especially with an injury like that. It definitely took me some time and some months to look back and reflect on like my journey and everything that I've been through. So definitely wasn't positive through it at all, I would say.
And that's rightfully so. I think a lot of times like people feel pressure to handle a certain situation a certain way. And as long as you're able to look back and think about how you did grow so much, and how it kind of teed you up to have that, those last season that you really did enjoy is what matters. And so entering in, so you had played 2 seasons, then you redshirted. So then you had 2 more seasons you did get to play, or just one?
Yes, but one of them, my senior year. So with pushing back my injury, I wasn't cleared until like 3 games into preseason. And you know, like once you're cleared to play, it's like you haven't played in a game. You're just cleared to play in a game. So it's like we're into season. I haven't even played in a game. Like I've been doing ball skills and stuff, right, but I haven't been like in a 90-minute contact game yet. So I really didn't play at all my senior year, which was hard, but also really crazy just to see how far I'd come from not playing my freshman year and being like the selfish Kylie who like only thought about playing time and like couldn't support her teammates to like senior Kylie who didn't get a lot of playing time. Yes, it was because of an injury, but I would sit on the sidelines and cheer on my teammates and like encourage everyone and like add as much value as I could in that role that I was playing at the time. So it was just crazy to like see the difference between the two and like the parallels that they had, you know?
Yeah. And it's very important to learn that lesson of how you can have a role on the team if it's maybe not the role you wanted. And I think every athlete experiences that at some point or another. You're not in the position you wanted. You're not getting the minutes you wanted. You're not even, maybe you're not playing, but you do have a role. You affect the culture. You affect the trajectory of the team. Did you have fear as you started playing again with the knee? Like, I'm scared to go full out. I'm scared to have a defender behind me. How did you work through that? Because a lot of people struggle with feeling confident again, even when they are healthy and cleared.
Yeah. Absolutely. I honestly was like terrified, like to go back. And one, I didn't shield the ball, like, which is as a defender, you kind of shield a lot. Like, I just like wouldn't do it. Like, I was like, sorry, not doing that. I'll do everything else. Not doing that. Sorry. Cause that's like exactly how I got hurt. But it was weird. People ask me like, when do you feel normal again? Like, because people will DM me like, oh, I just got ACL surgery, or oh, I'm like almost about to be cleared. Like, and they'll ask me like, when am I going to feel normal again? And it's hard because there is no certain answer. Like, oh yeah, after like 2 months of playing, you'll feel normal again. One day it just kind of like clicks and you just like forget that you ever had anything wrong. Like, I don't even really think of, or I don't play soccer anymore, but whenever I played like my last year, I didn't think about my knee at all, which was crazy to me because I was like, I never going to rehab. I thought this was going to like define me the rest of my career. And it was just crazy because I didn't even think about it at all. So
when did you decide to start vlogging and start your YouTube channel? Because as I was looking into your story, I was thinking, that's interesting because having not had the season you've wanted in such a long time, to add this extra element, which some might say is like a distraction, which I don't think it is. I think it's a great thing that you did. I obviously did the same thing. I think every student athlete should use their platform.
Yeah.
But I feel like the perfectionist you were might have been, am I adding editing to my plate? I'm adding vlogging. Like, am I not focused at the traveling? And so what inspired you to start the channel? And did you grapple with some of those thoughts?
I definitely did. And I think that's one of the reasons that I didn't start earlier is just because I did have like so much on my plate. Like you go to class literally all day long, waking up at 7 a.m., go to class. We had practice at 3:30, wouldn't get out until like 6:30. And then I go straight to dinner until like 7:30, go home, shower, head straight to the library, usually until like 1 a.m. And that was every day for me. So I was like, adding anything else to my plate at this point would be insane. Like, I don't know why you would do this to yourself. But I was talking to my boyfriend Bronson and he was like, oh, I was just like, I don't know how I can like hold on to these memories. Like, this is one of the coolest times of my life. And like, honestly, like, I want to be able to like tell my kids like, yeah, guess what, your mom was cool, like she played a sport in college, like so cool. And so I was like, you know what? I think the only like logical way to do this is like to take video, and like, why not start a vlog? Like, why not show people what it's really like to be like a college soccer player? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to vlog it. It'll be like my little online diary kind of thing, like where I just store all these memories. And we made the first video, and actually a little detail, Bronson edited all my videos while I was in season. So that's how we kind of worked that out. Yeah. And he's the best. He literally taught himself how to edit and edited all my videos for me. And I would like give him the footage when he would come visit me, and then he'd edit it and send it over and we would post it.
Boyfriend of the year. Okay, wait, that makes me feel so much better, because as I was looking through all your videos, I was like, she got up so much content. Like
pumping it out, right?
I did not do weekly videos. I did like once a month, and I did like 5 videos my senior year because I just editing is, it takes like 7-10 hours to edit a video. Gosh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's wow. Cool.
And so he's literally the best, and I honestly couldn't have done it without him. But at the same time, I was like, I want to literally film every travel trip. Like, I don't want to miss anything. And my friends, they're awesome, because I'm sure it was so annoying me like having a camera in their face all the time. But I'm so glad that I did it, because now we all go back and like watch these vlogs from season. And it's just so nice to like just relive the grind a little bit. Like, you're like, God, that sucked so bad. But like, it was so fun at the same time.
It's funny watching the vlog and thinking, this looks really fun, but then remembering like all the stuff that you didn't film.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm sure it sucked too. That's what people don't understand. I'm like, you're only seeing like the fun stuff. I don't film the sucky stuff of the season. So it was funny, but.
That's wild. What was it like starting to develop a serious social media presence and receive a lot of followers and comments and eyes on you that final season?
Honestly, we had this like motto on our team where it was like insiders and outsiders, where it was like insiders are like people on the team, like coaching staff. Like, we really know what happens. Like, we don't let like outsiders come in, kind of thing, like get in our heads, like for games and stuff. So that was kind of my mindset, but it was really difficult because like, I read every comment on my YouTube video. I think that people think that I don't, but like, you read every comment. So seeing like the ones that are like, oh, these girls suck, like women's soccer isn't even a sport, like it was difficult to like not let those get to me, you know what I mean? Especially when you're like in the grind of season and you're like, oh really, it's not a sport, like I'm just grinding through this right now. But yeah, it was weird because I had never really had like a social media presence, and but it was awesome at the same time because we had so many more people like cheering us on and rooting us on and like truly like loved our team. And it was just really awesome to see like so many people come behind like Baylor soccer, just over these vlogs that I made of me and my friends. I never thought anything would come of it. Seriously, like ever in a million years. I was really just posting it just for me, really. But it's awesome that so many people can like find so much joy in them, you know?
Yeah, 1000%. And it's something that looking back, I'm sure you're super grateful you did do it because of all the 100% memories you have from it now.
Yeah.
Did you get to have a real graduation or was it cut because of the virus?
So I actually had a real graduation in 2019. And then I got my master's my fifth year, but I didn't get a graduation.
So it
wasn't, honestly, I wasn't really that sad because I was like, graduation's kind of boring, but.
And you did get to have one before, but I was wondering, yeah, I think your spring was of your master's year was your fifth year was cut off.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned you were always planning on being a dentist. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that still what you want to pursue?
Honestly, at this point, I'm not sure. Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, the reason why is I like truly have like a passion for helping people, and I'm like a people's person. Like, I love talking to people. I love just helping them in some way. And it's weird to me to see the correlations between like social media and dentistry. And I know you would never compare the two, but when I talk about like, I'm such a people's person, like I love giving people advice. Like, I love helping people. And I'm like, that's really strange because I literally do all of those things like through social media, and the way that it connects me to so many people that I would have never met otherwise is incredible to me. But I mean, as of right now, I don't know about dentistry just because I love what I'm doing, like literally love it. And I feel like I have a passion for it, but I also feel just a little bit like it's that perfectionism again coming in. Cause I'm like, I worked my butt off to say the least, like for the past 5 years doing shadowing and building my resume and studying for all these like biology courses.
Could you be the vlogging dentist? Maybe you could do both.
Yeah, I don't know. I've thought about it. I'm taking this year to just kind of like figure out what I want to do and like try everything. And then I might reapply next year, but yeah, I don't know. I think I would definitely keep vlogging if I got into dental school, but it's such a time commitment that I'm like, I don't know if I could, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where life takes me.
This next question I've been really looking forward to asking you because I feel like you totally get it. And I have not had anyone who I think understands. We both built YouTube platforms while we were college athletes. Both did it our last year of school. Saw great success, saw the support, saw the followers, saw people thinking, oh, I love you, the volleyball player. I love you, the soccer player. And then it's over. And they're like, I want a game day vlog. I want a this vlog. And I'm like, well, I don't have a game day anymore. I'm not on a team anymore. And I really struggled with all of these people want something from me that I can't give them anymore. And they want a version of me that I've had to let go of, which was really hard for me. And now I feel like I'm dealing with this new, I'm finding my new identity, but no one wants to watch my new videos. No one, everyone wants the old stuff. So have you experienced that? And how, what has that been like for you?
Yes. You literally just took the words out of my mouth. This was something, even like when season was still going on, I was like so nervous because I was like, okay, now there's like so many people that are like subscribing and they're basically like subscribing for the Baylor soccer videos. I'm like, well, I am a fifth year senior. Like this is going to end soon.
Yeah. Thanks for the subscription.
So, yeah. I'm like,
we're turning into a dentist channel now.
I'm like, I hope they like the dentist vlogs. No, but I'm like, really? I was so nervous about that. And I was like, one, I don't even know what I'm going to do because if I don't get into dental school, what am I going to do? I'm done with soccer. What am I going to do? So I guess we're all going to figure it out together. So hope you guys don't mind. But yeah, that was honestly like the thing I was most nervous about. I was like, all these people are not going to like me anymore because I'm not a soccer player. Like they're not going to like what I have to offer. But the thing is, like, I'm so much more than a soccer player that if they don't like me, oh, well.
You are so much more than a soccer player. And something that I have learned in kind of grappling with all these thoughts. And for me, I've been out of school for a year. So I'm just like, I'm probably like 10 minutes ahead of you on this. But what I learned was like, yes, I'm not on a volleyball team anymore, but I'm still a volleyball player. Like I can create videos about volleyball. I can still talk about what I've learned. I can still have that be a part of me. I think there's this pressure for, regardless if you have a social media, YouTube, whatever, if you're just any athlete, there's such a pressure to be like, okay, bye, you graduated. Don't come to the locker room. You're not in the team chat anymore. Like you're an alum, like see you at the one game a year we invite you to. And so it's this weird flip of you're so ingrained in a program and a sport and a lifestyle, and then it's just over. And I remember walking around campus that spring after my season and thinking, 2 o'clock, the whole team's in the gym doing practice and I'm not there and no one cares.
It's crazy. Yeah. Those feelings literally bring back so many memories because this was me not that long ago, like a few months ago, and me and my best friend Reagan, we were both like graduating seniors and we would be walking from our science building and you can see the soccer field like across the river from the science building and it would literally be 3:30 and we were like, they're all over there. We can see them. They're running sprints. And even though it doesn't look fun, like we wish we were there. Yeah. It's sad a little bit, but I like your perspective of like, I still have all those experiences and like so much knowledge to give about playing a collegiate sport. And like, I have this platform to do it on. And I think that's one of my most favorite things about having this platform is kind of like the mentorship almost. It's like, I love when younger soccer players reach out to me and they're like, I'm about to get recruited by a college, or like, I'm struggling with this injury, or I'm nervous for high school tryouts. And I'm like, I love that because I've been there and I can like, I mean, I don't know if it's really going to help you, but I can tell you what I would do. Looking back, you know, I said like, I wish I could tell my younger self. I see my younger self in so many people that DM me that I'm like, this is incredible that this crazy like app brought us all together to like help each other almost. So that's definitely one of my favorite things.
Have you struggled at all with posting videos that are not athletic content whatsoever? I do know you dive a lot into health and wellness, which is great because that fitness transition is so easy from being a D1 athlete, like so much credibility, so much hard work. So that's been exciting, I think, for you, is you can dive into that. And you talk about health and wellness a lot. And I know, I think a week ago or two, you opened up about some body image insecurities. And I know we talked about this earlier, but what inspired you to come to YouTube about that and really get real about it in a video?
Yeah. I was really nervous to post something like that because I didn't want anyone thinking like, oh my gosh, like she's already my goals. Like I can't believe she's feeling like that. But at the same time, getting so many DMs that say like, how do you stay so disciplined? How are you always so motivated? And I just want to like scream at the top of my lungs. Like, I'm not always motivated. I'm not always disciplined. I don't always want to get up and work out. Like, I don't always want to make the healthy choice at all. And I just never wanted my Instagram to be like that highlight reel, which I feel everybody's is. And yes, I'm going to post like pretty pictures and whatever, but my life is so much more than like fun and happiness and joy and fitness. Like, it's also like a lot of struggles and some sadness and like some failures thrown in there. And I'm not going to just show you the happy parts of my life. And because for me, when I'm watching people and I'm like, dang, that kind of makes me feel like bad about me. Like, because I'm like, my life isn't like that. I just want to like, one to be totally transparent and be like, look, my life is not perfect. I know some of you think it is. It's not at all. Like, I definitely struggle with these things. And guess what? It's normal to struggle with these things. Everybody struggles with body image sometimes. So I didn't want to be that girl who was like perfect on Instagram.
So do you think you kind of realized people were viewing you as that perfect girl and you kind of were looking back like, wow, maybe I've made it seem this way. So that's kind of what drew you to say, I feel like I need to say this because some of you maybe are getting the wrong impression of me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times on my videos, I get the comment of, you're always so happy. I love your positive attitude. And I'm like, same. Dude, if you only know, like, my, like, this positivity.
Like, my family thinks I'm satanic, but thank you.
I know. I'm like, my parents think that I'm, like, the most negative person ever. So I'm like, okay, honestly, thank you. I appreciate that. But I've been working on, like, being more, because I would say I'm, like, definitely a realist on the side of being a pessimist. So getting those comments, I'm like, okay, I never want people to think that I'm something that I'm not. I definitely try and keep my vlogs like uplifting and positive, but that's not 100% of who I am. So,
and I think the easiest way to communicate it to like anyone who can't understand, it's like, hold up your phone, press the record button and start talking. You're not going to feel like yourself. And those are the videos you're watching of us. And like, exactly. We are more natural in front of a camera, but I'm definitely turning on the camera and it's going from 3 hours of silence in my bedroom to, hey guys, welcome back to my channel. And like, I'm not trying to be fake about it, but I just get a dosage of like positive energy when the button hits record.
Yeah.
And I have had moments, I wonder if you can relate to this too. I feel like I'm like, she gets it, where you record a video and like 20 minutes in, you're just thinking, I don't feel like myself at all. This feels so fake. I've like trashed an entire video because I'm like, this feels so uncomfortable right now.
Yes. Yes. And I hate when I'm filming and I'm like, why did my voice just go up like 10 octaves when I'm, because I'm like, hey guys, I'm like, that's not me. That's literally not how I talk.
I retweet.
Why am I doing that? It's so funny. Oh my gosh.
But it is, like you said, it is important to reveal what is really going on or what your real thoughts are. And I think long form vlogs help reveal that as well. And it's cool that you've showed that. And something you talked about, which is really important, is balance. And you said like having that balance of you're going to eat a variety of foods. You might not work out, you might work out, but everyone has their own weight that they're working on balancing. And like you said, this idea of like always working out and always being disciplined and always eating ABC foods, if you hold yourself to that standard, it's going to be really, really difficult. Have you felt yourself lessen up on your own perfection standards with through everything you've been through?
Yes and no, because it's almost like with this social media platform, it's like it replaced soccer almost in a way. So it's like, now you're not a perfectionist for your sport, but like you have this image to uphold. And I try really hard not to let myself get sucked into that. Like every day, like I'm not going to have 6-pack abs. Like actually most days I don't. So, and it's like, sometimes I let that get to me and I'm like, oh, you ate so bad this week. Like you have to film a video tomorrow and you're going to look like a big flubber flub. And I'm like, well, that's just the way it is. Cause I'm, guess what? Not every day am I going to be shredded. Most days I'm not. Most pictures I'm flexing as hard as I can. And like, that's what you don't see. Like you don't see what goes into taking an Instagram picture or editing a video. So, yes and no, I've definitely given myself more grace because, well, it's hard because now that I'm out of soccer, it's like I have this mindset of like, I'm not an athlete anymore, but you can still train like an athlete. And that's kind of like my mindset on it is like, there's not as this pressure on it, but you still can do it if you want. And I think that's kind of the key is like, if I want, and it's like what makes me happy in the end, you know?
I struggle with this a lot. And my recent realization was, I wonder if you can relate to this. You said like, you're not an athlete, but you can train like an athlete. I kind of got so, I don't want to say like cocky, but I had this mindset of like my workouts, like not like a soul cycle class, not like a core power. Like I just thought, oh, you don't know. Like I know how, what it's like to really work out. And so because I could not replicate that Olympic lift and the sprints and the sled pushes, like and the ropes, because I didn't have the tools to do that, I was like, well, I'm not going to work out if it's not like the D1 workouts I used to do. So I wasn't working out for the longest time. And I recently had this moment where I thought it's literally not that hard to just wake up and work out for 20 minutes, do some body weight squats, do some sprints, some lunges down and back, like lift whatever weights you have in your house and just be done with it. And I kind of needed to like bring myself back down to earth and say, you're like, I thought I was too good to work out if it was an intense workout. And I've realized like the people that go on a 20-minute walk are doing better than me because I'm not even going on a walk. So to me, yeah. Like my whole thing was, yes, I can train like an athlete, but also I should just train.
Yeah. I kind of get this disappointment in myself when I have a workout and it's like, cause I would wear my watch in practice and like in practice, like you go to a 2.5-hour practice and you go to an 1.5-hour lift. Like it really is that much working out. So I'm like, oh, I burned 1200 calories today. And I'm like, sweet. And now it's like, I'm lucky if I burn like 500 calories. I'm like, it's almost like this self-inflicted disappointment. And I'm like, why am I disappointed? Like that was a good workout just because it isn't a college level division one like sport workout doesn't mean it's not good. Like it's not, it's all of it is helping my progress. Getting up off the couch is helping my progress. So
yeah, it's funny how you mentioned the numbers because that is something that we both already said, like from high school, you're thinking about what you used to weigh, your dress size, mm-hmm. how many calories you used to eat in high school. Then you get to college and it's this huge adjustment of, oh my God, this is way too much. Then you get normalized to it and you're like, cool, I'm a badass athlete. These are my new numbers. And then you graduate and you're like, wait, why can't I burn and eat what I was eating in college? So there's so many adjustments. And how have you been handling that, especially with the whole body image, nutrition aspect now that you're your own boss?
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, like it's a daily battle for me. Like finding this new balance is not going to come overnight. And it's weird because this balance looks different for everybody. Like my balance is not going to be the same as like the fitness Instagram model's balance on Instagram. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm just taking it day by day, like adding in, trying different things, trying different workouts, cooking different meals. Like it's been definitely a little bit of a struggle just because you're going from every hour of every day being planned out for you. And you have this allotted time slot that you have 6 hours of the day to like work out. And it's
that's
like,
what it is. It's crazy. You're not even exaggerating. Like, it is 6 hours of the day and 4 hours of it was active.
Yeah. And like, you can't expect to do that anymore. Like I try my best to push myself in the ways that I can. But yeah, it's honestly, it's been a struggle because taking soccer away, it's like, now I need to find this new purpose. Like, why am I working out? Why am I eating healthy? It's no longer to like work towards this championship mindset or for the good of the team, because it's just me. Now it's literally just me. And I've just had to kind of come to terms with like, I love fitness because I love moving my body and I love the way it makes me feel. And I love eating healthy because I love the way I feel after and I love the way it makes my body feel after. So yeah, it's just been definitely a journey, like finding these new purposes, you know?
And now it's because you can. It's just for the pure element of because I can work out, because yes, I can exactly. treat myself well. And that takes almost more mental discipline and strength because there is no game that you're prepping for. It's no one cares if I work out today or not, and no one's holding me accountable. So yeah, I hear everything you're saying. And I think it's a natural thing that as we graduate and move on from our usual athletic careers, like we're all going to experience. I had such a good time talking with you. I feel like we've covered everything.
I know, me too.
I mean, I'm so glad. And you killed it. Like you talked about nerves in the beginning. Do you feel good?
I do. Yeah, it was fun. Thank you. And honestly, we are so similar. It's literally like talking to myself. So
I know. I feel the same way. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on.
Of course. Literally anytime. That was so fun.
I just loved talking with Kylie. She is literally the coolest. If you want to follow her Instagram, make sure you check it out. It's _KylieRoss. And she also has a YouTube channel where she posts incredible videos. They're so addicting to watch, so fun to watch. Make sure you check out Kylie on all those platforms and follow her. Thank you so much for listening to Real Pod. If you want to rate and review this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, I would really appreciate it. I'm so grateful that you guys come and you listen. It means the world. And I truly, every time I record an episode, I just think about all of you guys listening, and I can't explain what it means, like what it means to know that that's the case. If you want to stay in touch with me, you can text me at 1-213-214-0917. I have a number with community. I receive all of the texts. And what I do is I send my weekly wisdom, weekly thoughts to you via text. And I also, if you catch me at a good time, I will chat and text you about whatever it is you want to text about. So make sure you text me if you're interested. 1-213-214-0917. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod, and I will see you next week.